भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। All right, so yesterday we heard about Putana. So Krishna's still a baby. When this next pastime takes place, he's only 3 months old. And he's just, it's the first time that Krishna is rolling over and starting to push himself up onto his hands and starting to crawl. So usually that happens, you know, with ordinary babies, they usually start doing that around 4 months, they can roll over. And it's not until maybe they're around 9 months or so that they can crawl. But Krishna is a precocious child. He develops very quickly. And yeah, for example, like the Rasa dance happened when Krishna is only, I think, 8 years old. He lives Govardhan Hill when he's seven. He leaves to Mathura to go kill Kamsa when he's 11. So Krishna grows up at an accelerated rate compared to ordinary children. So Krishna is 3 months old, but he's still little. So he's just starting to crawl. And in Vedic civilization, they really were into raising children. A lot of value, children were very valued, and they were never seen as a burden or a problem or, you know, troublesome. It was always like a joy to just watch the children grow. And every milestone was something to be celebrated. So even for, you know, ordinary children, what to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a child. So every little thing that happened, every milestone that Krishna reached in his, you know, developmental stages, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj had a festival to celebrate it. So this time when Krishna is 3 months old and he rolls over and he starts moving about and crawling a little bit, then they're like, okay, we're going to have a festival to celebrate that. So that's what they do. They invite all the Brahmins, and just like, you know, at Krishna's birth, they invited all the musicians and singers and historians and the Brahmins and different kinds of priests to chant different kinds of mantras for auspiciousness and to get the blessings of the Lord on their child, who they didn't know was the Lord, but is. So, just a second. It's my page here. Yeah. So then, they're doing all these festivities, and so many guests are there. All the Rajvasis are there, and there's a big celebration going on. But then Krishna, because he's a baby, and because characteristic of his Boma Lila, or his Vrindavan, earthly Vrindavan pastimes, he really acts very much like an ordinary child. So just like an ordinary child, when they're at some event and there's a lot of noise and a lot of people, then they get a little overwhelmed and they want to go to sleep. So then Krishna got sleepy and he wanted to sleep. So Mother Yashoda sees that there's a cart there. And this cart is like a familiar cart. It's a cart that's been in the household for, you know, many years. They use it for different purposes. And they thought that maybe Krishna's going to get tired. So they had already, you know, thought ahead. And they put a nice mattress there, nice soft mattress and a cradle and things for him in a nice shady place that was a little out of the way under this cart. So then she went there and she laid Krishna down, and she also lied down with him. Because the mother's duty is to make sure that the child is happy and peaceful and comfortable. And then when Krishna, she was cuddling there with Krishna. And then when Krishna drifted off into a deep sleep, then she thought, okay, I'll get up and make sure that the guests are all cared for and everybody's greeted and welcomed sufficiently. So, so Krishna's becoming sleepy. It fulfills three purposes. One is to just enable him to play the role of an ordinary child, which he wanted to do. And then the other was to give pleasure to Mother Yashoda, because for her, it was an excuse to just cuddle with Krishna, which is Mother Yashoda's favorite thing to do. So she was doing the, you know, the social formalities of receiving people, but really she just wanted to be alone with Krishna and cuddle him. That was like the perfection of her life. And then the other reason why he got sleepy was to set the scene, to sort of, you know, segue into his next pastime, which is going to be the killing of Shakatasura. So Krishna's line. So Mother Yashoda went back to, you know, talk to the guests, and Krishna's there alone now. So Krishna wakes up, and then he cries because he wants his mother's milk. And he's crying there. Mother Yashoda can't hear him because there's so many people. There's a lot of talking. There's all the music. There's mridangas. There's everything going on. So she can't hear him. So then Krishna thinks, well, if you can't hear me crying, then maybe this cart crashing down will get your attention. So that's his thinking, that he wants to make a big noise so that Mother Yashoda will look and see that he's awake and come running over and give him milk. So that's his whole program. Of course, he also knows that there's a demon inside that cart. So Shakatasura is he was also sent by Kamsa to kill Krishna. And they say that Shakatasura is like a subtle being. He's like a ghost. And so it's not that the cart itself is a demon, but this subtle being, this ghost with a ghostly, you know, ethereal kind of body, enters into the cart. So it's kind of like pervading inside that cart. So then Krishna, he's crying and he starts kicking his legs. But the cart is way up here because he's just little and his legs are only like that long. So he can't, you know, stretch his legs. And the Acharyas talk about how when Vamanadev wanted to, you know, cover the whole universe, he, you know, got this, assumed this giant form and extended his leg and, you know, and poked his toe in the covering of the universal shell and all that. But when Krishna's in Vrindavan, you'll notice that whenever Krishna kills the demons in Vrindavan, he never exerts himself. Like when he killed Putana, he didn't change his form. He didn't do anything special. He just sucking her breasts, just like a baby, any baby would do. Nobody observed anything extraordinary. Of course, it was extraordinary that Putana, like, you know, assumed, you know, showed her real form. But Krishna was just like a normal little baby doing baby stuff. And so in the same way, in killing Shakatasura, he's just going to be a normal little baby doing baby stuff. He wakes up. He's crying because he wants milk. He wants his mother. He starts kicking his legs. And then his toes just touch the wheel of the cart. And just that little, you know, baby little poop on the wheel of the cart, and the whole thing just comes crashing down. The whole thing just splits. It says here that when he struck the cart with his foot, it turned over violently and collapsed. The wheels separated from the axle, the hubs and spokes fell apart, and the pole of the handcart broke. On the cart, there were many little utensils made of various metals, and all of them scattered hither and thither. So even though Krishna's little legs were as soft as newly sprouted leaves, but this huge cart, and it was covered in like, it was piled up with all these brass pots and containers full of things for the rituals that they were doing. So it made this huge noise. And then Mother Yashoda, of course she heard it, and then she, oh, Krishna, you know, so she goes running over there and she picks him up and makes sure that he's okay. So yeah, we see that, Krishna Vrindavan is always sweet, even when killing the demons. He's just sweet. You know, everything is sweet about Krishna in Vrindavan. So when Mother Yashoda get there, they can't understand how that could have possibly happened. They're thinking, was it a demon? What was going on? And there's some little children that had seen the whole thing. So they're telling the story. They're like, yeah, you know, Krishna woke up. He wanted milk. He was crying. Nobody came. So he kicked his foot. And everybody's just like, these kids are making up stories. You know, it's impossible that this tiny little baby could cause this heavy, heavy cart full of heavy things to fall down. So they didn't believe it. They just totally ignored the children, thinking this is like some silly children being silly, making up stories. And they thought, well, maybe there's some bad planetary influence or something. They really didn't know what was happening. But Mother Yashoda, anyway, she just picked up Krishna and put him on her lap and gave him milk like he wanted. And then she called the Vedic 911, which is the Brahmins. So whenever there was any incident in Vrindavan, whenever there was any danger, any attack, or something crazy happened, Mother Yashoda and Nandamaraj would always call the Brahmins. So call the Brahmins, get them to chant auspicious mantras, get them to do rituals and make everything good again. Because by chanting the Vedic hymns and performing their ritualistic ceremonies that would counteract the evil influences of ghosts and spirits and witches and bad planets and demons and all that. So that was what they did. And then they put they stood the cart back up and resumed their festival. Okay, so that's Shakatasura. Now we're going to Trinavarta. So this one happened when Krishna was 1 year old, and Mother Yashoda had him on her lap. So he's sitting on her lap, and she's, you know how sometimes people throw the baby up a little bit and catch. So she's sitting there, she's throwing him up and catching him, throwing him up and catching him. And so Krishna's having a good time, but he's thinking, Mother Yashoda can only throw me up a few feet. I want to go way up in the sky. You know, what's wrong with her? Why can't she just throw me way up there in the clouds? And he's thinking, anyways, I know the demigods' wives that really want to see me. They're always hankering to see me. And I'm so far down here on the surface of the earth. So wouldn't it be a lot of fun? I'd be happy. They'd be happy. Everyone would be so happy if I could get up in the sky. So then just when he's thinking like that. And then, At that moment when Krishna has that thought that he wants to fly in the sky, then Kamsa gets an inspiration in Mathura, and he thinks, well, Krishna killed Putana, and he killed Shakatasura. I need to send a more powerful demon. I know, Trinavarta. So then, of course, it's Krishna's plan, right? Because Krishna wants to go for a ride in the sky. So then from within the heart of Kamsa, the Paramatma, gives him this idea that send Trinavarta right now. So then Trinavarta is on his way to Vrindavan. So then Krishna is on Mother Yashoda's. She's still throwing him up, and he's on her lap. And then all of a sudden he becomes so heavy, you know, because he's a tiny little baby. He's a one-year-old baby. She's throwing him. And all of a sudden he becomes so heavy that she can't lift him. She's like, ugh. And not only can she not lift him to throw him up, but she can't even bear the weight of him. Like, the weight of him is like crushing her legs. Like, he's as heavy as a mountain peak. And her legs are like going to break. And then she's like, ah, and she puts him down. So Krishna did that because he knew that Trinavarta is coming, and he's going to pick him up and carry him away. And he doesn't want him to carry away Mother Yashoda, because Mother Yashoda is not going to do well with that. So... yeah, Krishna's—he's like orchestrating all these things. And so it's just characteristic again of Krishna in Vrindavan that he's going to have fun. You know, Krishna is a supreme enjoyer, and his pastimes in Vrindavan are simply just enjoyable. They're just relishable. So everything that Krishna does is for his own, you know, entertainment and for the pleasure of the devotees. And killing the demons is just part of the fun. He makes it all just fun for himself and for his friends too. So then Trinavarta comes. So when Trinavarta comes, he's a tornado. And so there's this wind, this insane wind, and all the dust of Vrindavan is in the air, and it becomes like a huge dust storm. And everybody's just like, you know, with the dust. Nobody can see anything. It becomes dark because the dust goes up into the sky and it blocks out the sun. So it's really like bad, you know, it looks bad and everybody's scared. Mother Yashoda, she just put Krishna down, and now she's like, where's Krishna? She's like feeling around on the ground, and she's, you know, trying to find him. She can't find him. And then, Krishna, after just making himself heavy, another reason he makes himself heavy is to give us a little kind of precursor as to how he's going to kill Trinavarta. But after doing that, he makes himself very light again. So then Trinavarta just scoops him up and carries him up into the sky. So then Krishna's very happy because he's going for a ride. He's going up there. He goes all the way up above the clouds into space and approaching the heavenly planets, and all the damsels of Swarga Loka are, wow, it's Krishna. You know, they're all getting a good darshan there up in the sky, and throwing flowers and dancing and playing musical instruments. Of course, in the meantime, everybody is in anxiety down on earth in Vrindavan. But Krishna doesn't keep them in anxiety for long. And soon he starts to make himself very heavy. Yeah, you can come in. he makes himself heavy. Like just as he made himself heavy on Yashoda's lap, he starts making himself really, really heavy. So even though Trinavarta is a huge, powerful demon, he starts going down. He can't maintain himself up there in the sky. And then when he realizes that he's going to crash down to the earth, then he tries to throw Krishna away. He tries to just, because before he was holding on to Krishna, and he tries to just throw Krishna. But then Krishna, so what Krishna does too is that, again, like pretending to be an ordinary child, he pretends that he's afraid of falling. So he looks down, when he makes himself heavy, but then he sees that they're falling. He also grabs hold of the neck of Trinavarta. So then he's like a baby who's afraid, like, ah, we're going to fall, we're going to crash, like that. So he's like clutching for dear life, you know, so-called clutching onto Trinavarta with a literal death grip. And and Trinavarta's just sinking. And then he goes crashing down to the earth, and he lands right there in Vrindavan, back where they started. And he lands on his back, flat on his back on a stone slab. And he just goes whack, and he's dead. But then Krishna's on his chest. And because Trinavarta is like most of his body is made out of air. So it's just like, you know, Krishna just falls like on an airbag, air mattress. So for him, it's like fun. He had a ride in the sky. He went on this nice, cushy, bouncy, you know, air trampoline. And then he's just crawling around there on Trinavarta's chest. And Mother Yashoda goes and grabs him. Right? So, yeah. When Trinavarta crashes down, all his limbs get dislocated. His arms go out of his sockets and stuff. And yeah, so then the gopis, they pick him up, and Krishna's not hurt at all. And Trinavarta was also a Rakshasa, just like Putana was a Rakshasa. So he was also thinking that he was going to take Krishna away and eat him. That's what it says here. Yeah, it says, it is most astonishing that although this innocent child was taken away by the Rakshasa to be eaten, he has returned without having been killed or even injured. Because this demon was envious, cruel, and sinful, he has been killed for his own sinful activities. This is the law of nature. An innocent devotee is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and a sinful person is always vanquished for his sinful life. So then Nanda Maharaj, he can't understand how it is that Krishna is so fortunate that, you know, twice this happened now, that some dangerous demon came and he didn't get even you know, a scratch on him. So Nanda Maharaj is thinking, in our previous lives, we must have done so many austerities and accrued so many pious credits. We must have worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead and, you know, constructed, dug wells and given charity and, you know, made hospitals and public roads. And as a result of our pious activities, our son has been saved again from the hands of death. So that's the way he figures it out. And then he remembers again the words of Vasudev, that Vasudev said there were going to be disturbances, and he was right. So that is the killing of Trinavarta. Any questions or comments, Janaki?
The first
thing, Shakatasura. No, he was just totally, yeah, he was just hanging out in the car waiting for some opportunity to try to crush Krishna. Probably he was thinking that I'll wait when the baby's sleeping, then I'll just like, you know, crush him with the whip or something like that, or whatever. Who knows what his idea was, but he was definitely intending to kill Krishna. He didn't disturb anybody else. Nobody knew or ever really found out that there was even a demon there. Only Krishna. Yeah, Kameshi? Shakatasura. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. Shakatasura represents the carrying the burden of material attachments. I think something like that. Just like the cart had, you know, so many brass, heavy brass pots piled on it. So then, yeah, so we carry our burdens. These material attachments are like burdens that weigh us down. And so when Krishna kicked the car over, similarly with one kick of Krishna's little foot, he can break off, remove all of our material attachments if we want him to. What was Trinavarta? I'm not sure. I forgot to look this up beforehand. Let me see. I'm trying to research it right now. Oh, yeah, there's something about material knowledge, and especially the whirlwind demon represents pride in being learned and the consequent use of faulty arguments and dry logic and the quest for liberation. Yeah, so the thing is that Trinavarta, he goes high up in the sky, and in the same way that people who have, you know, mundane education, they think that they're becoming highly advanced in knowledge, but actually it's like they're just becoming more and more entangled in ignorance, and they become puffed up, yeah, just like wind, full of air, you know, they're just like Dr. Frog, puffed up and poof, you know, but they don't really have real knowledge. Huh? Like a puri. As soon as, yeah, they just deflate. Victor, you had a question?
Yeah. So these are the past times that you're second.
Yeah, I'm telling Krishna's pastimes. We're having this session every day of stories of Krishna.
Right. So are these allegories, the kind of parables?
Are they allegories? No, they really happen. They're real historical events.
Are they?
But they have, but we can learn lessons from them. They do have significance in the lives of practicing devotees too. So there are many lessons that we can learn from these. Yep. Yeah, these are all in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is also called the Amala Purana. Purana means history books, and Amala means without any defect. So this is a perfect history.
And do you have a library here of all these texts?
Yep, we've got all the books right over there in the cupboard.
Yeah,
sure. Just, you know, you can come here and read them while you're here. Don't sure. Don't take them out.
Yeah, I don't want to take them.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions from any of our viewers out there in Zoom land? He was 3 months when he killed Shakatasura, and he was 1 year old when he killed Trinavarta. Evan?
So the residents of Raj, they don't really, they don't have awareness that Krishna is God. Does Krishna also similarly kind of forget the supremacy?
Yeah, totally.
He's like, doing all these things. So is he playing the role of a child, or is he actually like
I mean, because we see that he knew that Trinavarta was coming, and yeah, so sometimes he knows when he needs to know, but his knowledge doesn't interfere with his fun, yeah, his role as a baby.
I just remember, like, when I was a kid, I mean, I didn't have yoga mat to cover me over and really make me think. But I'm just playing make believe with my cousins. Like, I would get really into it. If we were playing a game where I was like, had to be scared, if like, I was like a lava, they were copper, the floor was lava, I was scared. Like, I did not want to touch the floor, I did not want to get caught. Like, it was scary. And I felt those emotions. So,
yeah.
I can understand how you're in that. Who's there?
Yeah, like when Mother Yashoda is chasing Krishna, he's actually scared. The thing is that when the demons, Krishna's not afraid of the demons. That he pretends to be afraid of the demons. Like he was just pretending, you know, that, oh, I'm going to fall. That was just kind of to fake Trinavarta out so that Trinavarta would continue thinking that Krishna was a baby. But he never is afraid of the demons, but sometimes he's afraid of devotees, like Mother Yashoda. Yeah.
I listened to one pastime that was about Dhananarashtakam and like Mother Yashoda chasing Krishna. And it was saying that, I can't remember who, but there's some like demon or bad guy showing him Satya, and he like challenges Krishna to a fight. Mm-hmm. And Krishna just, no, I don't feel like it. And he, because he's a Satya, he was like, he has to accept. And Krishna just started walking away. And even though this demon, who was like such a great Satya, started like running as fast as he could. And Krishna just walking away. And so it was talking about like how like even though this demon was going like so fast, and Krishna was just like chilling, just walking away, not worried at all. Mother Yashoda like comes up, and she's like kind of chubby too. She's like,
yeah,
you know. But Mother Yashoda's chubby.
Yeah. And he's like breathing quickly. His necklace of pearls is shaking. He's trembling with fear.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It's Loka Prabhupada. I have a question. You know, the Mother Yashoda and isn't aware. I mean, she doesn't really think that this is Krishna. She thinks this is her son. And you were just commenting that the demons, you know, Krishna is acting like a baby so that the demon will not understand that he's anything else. Do the demons know that they are attempting to kill the Supreme Lord? Are they so egotistical or so blinded that they're unaware of his true nature? What's going on with for them in all this?
Yeah, the demons, like, they often know, like at least they've heard that Krishna is the Lord or is, you know, Narayan or something. I mean, the prediction was there, you know, the whole astrology by Gargamuni was there. And so it's funny because the Vrajvasis heard Gargamuni's words saying that this child is equal to Narayan. But they're like, they don't take it seriously because they just see him as their son. And then the demons, they're also aware that Gargamuni said this child is non-different from Narayan. But they don't take it seriously either because they think that they're more powerful than Narayan. So they're so proud.
Okay.
They're envious of Narayan. So then they're like, great, we always wanted to kill Narayan. So yeah. So in both cases, nobody's really thinking that Krishna is God until he goes to, some people do. Like when he goes to Dwarka and Mathura, then there are some souls there that know. But generally in his earthly pastimes, when he comes as Krishna, most people relate with him in other ways.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, then we better wrap it up because 5:30 and we have another class now. So Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Krishna ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanandi.